when we get to the end of these days, it's not the end of the world. It's the beginning. We still have another thousand.
It's not the end of us.
No, either. It's not the end of us. It's not the end of anything.
Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Join Gloria Copeland and her special guest Billy Brim for an interesting and insightful study on the prophets of the Bible, the words they declared about Jesus' return, and how God's promises will be fulfilled.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Our good friend Billy Brim is with us from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, and we're talking about some big stuff.
Yeah, we are.
Billy's giving us some end of days things. Hallelujah.
End of days things. Boy, when I tell you, when you just back from Israel three times and you have stood on some of the borders that I've stood on, you know it's the end of days.
You've experienced prophecy.
I have experienced prophecy come to pass. We're going to use for our scriptures the ones we've been using all along. 1 Peter 4, 7, and 8. I'll read it to you first in the King James. But the end of all things is at hand. So, what do we do? Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent love among yourselves.
Yes.
For love shall cover the multitude of sins. New American Standard reads, the end of all things is near, therefore. You know, if it's near, then what do you do? Well, the Bible tells us what to do. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer.
Stay connected, in
stay connected,
words.
Work with God.
That's right.
Above all, above everything, keep fervent in your love for one another because love covers a multitude of sin. Now, we're talking about Peter. We've been talking about Peter this week, who he was. And his association with time, of course, being a Jew, he knew about the days, and we've already gone into that. But he, when we hear him preaching on the day of Pentecost, he introduces the last days. And then in his writings, he's going to further tell you about the coming of the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 1, where we've been reading, where he's talking about the end of all things is at hand, that book begins with who he wrote this letter to. And remember that Galatians tells us that Paul was particularly appointed apostle. He's the appointed one to the Gentiles. And Peter was particularly appointed to bring the gospel and to those who had received the gospel out of Judaism. And so he writes even to those people. Chapter 1, Peter, an apostle. Chapter 1, verse 1. Of 1 Peter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout, and he names the place. The scattered were the diaspora. They had been scattered throughout all the known world. And so he's writing particularly to them. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And he goes on down and talks to them about the trial of their faith. They're having a trial of their faith. And he's telling them that it's going to work into verse 7 unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So much of Peter's writing is talking about the appearing. When Jesus appears, when he comes again, the last of the last days, what will we do? And now we're going to go to 2 Peter. And we're going to get a great revelation here about when Jesus is coming. Peter told them when he's coming. And so we'll let him tell us, too, when he's coming. He begins his second letter like this. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. And then he goes on down and says, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Mm.
Yes, Lord.
That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He's going to talk to them about promises. Now, I was once visiting a minister, and I had heard about McLaren, Alexander McLaren, and what a good minister he was through Sister Wilkerson. And I was up at this pastor's study. He was in California at the time. And I saw there a year's worth of sermons by McLaren. And so I took it off the shelves, and one of them was a funeral sermon. And he had preached that funeral service on 2 Peter. And when I read that funeral service from 2 Peter, 2 Peter became a new book. Praise with God. Alexander McLaren's enlightenment on it. So he said, now Peter is writing a letter. So he's mentioning the promises. He said, let's let Peter tell us which promises he's talking about. If you're writing a letter to someone, it's all one letter, and you're going to talk about promises in the first part of your letter, and then you're going to talk about promises at the end of your letter, it's the same promises. So Peter's talking to the people, and he's talking about the promises that the Lord gave. And he's telling them, verse 16, we've not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about the promise of his coming. And then over in the third chapter, it tells us that exactly. Let's look at 2 Peter 3, verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days. Here's Peter talking about the last days. There shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So he said, God has given us promises, and one of them is the promise of his coming. And the people in the last days, some of them are going to say, oh, when is he coming? I've been hearing that ever since. My grandma used to say that, and he hasn't come yet. He calls them scoffers. Mm-hmm. He calls them people who walk after their lusts of their flesh. They're not walking in the Spirit. And so they don't know that he's coming. There's a lot of them out there
now.
And
they don't want to walk in the Spirit.
No, they don't want to walk in the Spirit. They're out there right now, Gloria. And they've heard about, some of them have heard about Jesus coming, but that's all they know about it. And they don't want to believe it. And they don't want to stop partying. Mm-hmm. And they don't want to start obeying the lusts of the flesh. And so they're going to say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So we hear them saying that, and Jesus is saying, no, everything's not the same. And he goes on to tell them about the Holy Ghost through Peter, goes on to tell them, says, they are willingly ignorant of the Word of God. They're willingly ignorant of the Word of God. We face that in this world. There are a lot of people, even talking heads on television, trying to tell you what's going to happen, that are willingly ignorant of the Word of God.
That's right.
And in fact, they make fun of people who, like us, who read the Word of God as if it were literally true and order our lives by it.
That's right.
And the Bible told us this would happen. The Bible said they're going to be calling good evil and evil good. Well, it's certainly happening.
I think that's right now, isn't
it? I think that is right now. And they willingly are ignorant of the Word of God. They could know it. The Bible is the number one seller of all time. It's everywhere. You could get a Bible, and you could not be ignorant of the Word of God, but you would have to open that Bible, and you would have to check with the prophets. And remember, we quoted a statement yesterday by Winston, without the prophets, we'd have little to tell us what God is up to and what to expect next. And so by going to the prophets, we can know what to expect next. The promise of his coming, they're willingly ignorant of it. He said things aren't the same, they've changed. And he talks about the world that then was, and then he talks about the world that is to come. Whereby, verse 6, the world that then was overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, this is verse 7, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. So it says that there is a promise of a new heavens and a new earth, and the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. So the promises that he's talking about right here, every promise in the book is mine. That's what it says. But Peter's talking about the promises of the new heavens and the new earth, the world that's coming. He's talking about the promise of the return of the Lord. Those are the promises that he's talking about right now. And back to chapter 1, he says, we've been given great and precious promises, and by these we shall be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now, to your saving faith, when you got born again, you received the faith from God to be born again. Now he's saying you add to that faith, or you minister to that faith. And he's telling us what to minister to it. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, and godliness and kindness and love. Now look at verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you should be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you're born again, after that, you're supposed to be fruitful.
That's right.
And if you add to your saving faith these things he's just talked about, then you're going to have fruit for the Master. You're born again. If you're born again, you're truly born again, you're going to go to heaven. But then there comes the judgment seat of Christ, where we are rewarded for the works done in our body. And that's going to have to be the fruit we bore. Mm-hmm. Did I bear any fruit for him? So he says that if you'll add these things to your favorite, to your saving faith, you won't be barren. You won't be unfruitful. But look at verse 9. He that lacks these things is blind and cannot see far off. The Greek here says short-sighted. There are people that are short-sighted. They only see this month, next month's rent, this party tonight.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, that's one thing you better not be when the coming of the Lord is at hand, when the end of all things is at hand. You do not need to be short-sighted. That's why I talked about babies. You're having babies for eternity future, not just for this time that we're in right now. So it says in Colossians that we're to be heavenly minded. If we're risen with Christ, we're to be heavenly minded. If you look up to the heavens, there are no horizons. If you look down here on earth, you see a horizon. You see a building. You see a skyline. But if you look up to heaven, you see millions of miles. You can see light years away. You can see stars that shone light years ago. So we're told we are to be heavenly minded. We are not to be short-sighted. We are not to be limited in our vision.
That's right.
We are to be wide-scoped.
Spiritually minded.
Spiritually minded. Not short-sighted. Because, look at verse 11. If you do that, if you add to your saving faith these things, and then you bear fruit, verse 11, an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Abundant entry.
Woo! Glory be to
God.
God. Abundant entrance. Listen, it ain't over till the fat lady sings.
That's right. That's exactly
right. It ain't over, girl.
Hallelujah.
I'm telling you, you could. Some of our friends have already gone to their by the way of the grave.
The other side.
But it's not over for them. There's an everlasting kingdom. Hallelujah. There's a heavenly kingdom. We're citizens of heaven. And if we want to have an eternal abundance and an abundant entrance, then we'll be busy to add to our saving faith these things that Peter talked about.
That's right. We can't stop. We can't be lazy.
No.
We have to
we need to think about an abundant entrance. My son Chip, you know, he was in the sports world. And he said, Mother, it says in the scripture that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. He said, I think God wants us to be winners. He wants us to diligently seek him, and he wants us to think about the prize of the high calling, and he wants us to think about an abundant entrance. The Bible speaks of those who will be saved as if by fire.
Now remember your own. Let's just remember our situation. Remember how you were when you first got born again.
Oh, yes.
you didn't know anything much. I mean, you had to get in there, and over the years, and it wasn't nearly as exciting as it is now that you know something.
No.
You understand, and you know what's going on, and you're grown up in the Lord.
Yes.
I wouldn't go back.
Oh, no. And you are also, you are aiming for this abundant entrance.
That's right. We're working on something.
We're working on something.
Chris,
we're working on something.
That's
and
right.
It's going for eternity.
That's right.
And that, when we get to the end of these days, it's not the end of the world. It's the beginning. We still have another
it's
thousand.
It's not the end of us.
No.
Either.
It's not the end of us. It's not the end of anything.
Mm-mm.
So don't let people scare you with that.
It's not the end of sinners.
No.
It just determines where sinners go.
That's right.
Get over it.
An entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly. I used to pray with Brother Halverson. You remember Brother Halverson, how he prayed. And I think he prayed on a level maybe higher than any other person I ever knew. And he'd just get to shaking under the power of God, and he'd say, an abundant entrance, an abundant entrance. And I said, and then he'd say, arrangements, arrangements. And I'd say, Brother Halverson, what are you doing when you're saying that? And he said, some saint of God who has earned an abundant entrance is going home.
Wow.
And God is having me pray about it. Even the arrangements.
Isn't that awesome?
It's awesome.
Wow. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, so he's talking to them about abundant entrance, and he's thinking about his own self. Let's read what he says here in 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, he means in his body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me.
He knew.
He knew because Jesus told him. Now let's go back to John 21. And let's look when Jesus told him. We talked about it yesterday. When Jesus appeared, he told, after he raised from the dead, he told his disciples, meet me in Galilee. And this is one of the best places I like to go because it's really authentic. It's up in the Galilee, not far from our place, about 12 minutes. And they know the ancient steps where the fishermen docked. They know where they walked up, and they know where Jesus would have prepared the fish. And that's where he asked Peter 3 times, do you love me? We talked about that already this week. Now, that very time, Jesus turned to him and said, right after Peter had said 3 times, I love you, and he said, feed my sheep. Verse 18, chapter 21, verse 18, verily I say unto you, Jesus said to Peter, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would. But when you shall be old, you shall stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird you and carry you where you would not. In fact, Peter was, in fact, crucified like the Lord, upside down. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Think about it. Glorifying God in his death. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which leaned toward his breast at supper, said, Lord, who is he that, and said, Lord, who is he that betrays thee? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? And Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus did not say he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? Rumor mill going about then, grapevine. But so that's what he's talking about. Here in 2 Peter, Peter's writing a letter, and he's about to leave. He's about to depart. In the Bible, it never calls physical death, death. It calls it departure. It calls it right here, exodus. Peter said in verse 13.
Because it's not the end.
It's not the end.
Wherever you go,
that's right. It's not the end. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. It's come time for him to go. Even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my, the word here is exodus, departure, to have these things in remembrance. He's about to go. Jesus had set him up as the leader of those apostles. They had more respect for him than they did for Peter, especially these. He was the apostle to the circumcised. And he said, I'm about to go. And he said, after my decease, I want to tell you something. He said, I want you to have this in remembrance, for we've not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. He said, I'm going to go, but I want you to keep the promises in mind. We didn't tell you fables. We didn't tell you stories. He's coming again. And he said here, I even, verse 17 and 18, I was there on the Mount of Transfiguration when we heard a voice out of heaven say, this is my son in whom I'm beloved, my beloved son whom I'm well pleased. Peter said, I was there on that Mount of Transfiguration, but there's something more sure than that. Verse 19, we have a more sure word of prophecy, the propheticos, Old Testament prophets, whereunto you do well that you take heed unto a light that shines in a dark place until the day star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not of old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He said, I'm leaving. I'm going to depart, but it's not over. And where you're going to know is you got to look in the prophets. And it's going to be like a light shining in a dark place.
Amen.
And that's where Winston said, without the prophets, we'd have little to tell us what God is up to and what to expect next. Now, I want you to go over before we come tomorrow. Tomorrow, we're going to see that Peter tells us when Jesus is coming. But I want you to go to the next verse, chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them. He's telling them, it's going to be a while. False prophets are going to come. You see those people in that day? They had seen Jesus move in and out, appear
right,
for 40 days. They watched him move in and out, and then they heard, when he was caught up to heaven, they heard the angels say, or at least heavenly visitors say, he's coming, this same Jesus, in the same manner. They looked for him all the time. And in 1 Thessalonians, some people started to die, and God had to give Paul the revelation of the rapture and other things. And don't be upset when people are going. And Peter's telling the same thing here. It's going to be a while. I'm going to leave you. I remember when the faith message was first being preached and somebody died, you'd have thought it was the end of the world, just because someone in the church died. But Peter's going to go. He's the leader. He's going to go. And he said, it's going to be a while. There are going to be some false prophets. Time for that. But for you to know where you are, you keep your eye on the prophets.
Yes, amen. Glory to God.
And that's what we do today. That's how we know what Iran is going to do. That's what we know, how we know all the things that are going to happen. And Peter's going to tell you, like he told them, when Jesus is coming. In the next chapter, tomorrow.
Hallelujah. Don't go away, Billy, and I'll be right back.
We've all faced
problems,
challenges,
opportunities.
But who knew
that how we respond, either in love
or hate,
would make
such a difference in the end?
Who knew that our very lives
would be at stake?
Love is the life of every living thing in this whole universe.
Faith, joy, peace, and prosperity all depend on choosing love's way. The Walking in Love package contains Love, Your First Priority, a 2-CD series by Brother Copeland. It teaches you the importance of making every decision based on the law of love. Also included are 2 teaching CDs by Billy Brim about walking in the light and walking in love. She gives examples from her own experience on how to put love into practice. Kenneth Copeland's mentor, Kenneth E. Hagin, wrote Love, The Way to Victory, to teach you how to turn even the toughest situations around by walking in God's love.
Make the decision today.
Learn how to walk
in this divine love.
Order the Walking in Love package today for just $22 and save over 35%. Contained in this package is a book by Kenneth E. Hagin, as well as messages on CD by Kenneth Copeland and Billy Brim. Discover practical insights to increase your love toward others and walk in victory every day. For an additional product discount and 48-hour processing, order online at kcm.org. To order by phone, call toll-free 800-600-7395.
This Walking in Love package is very important. It'll help you a lot to get on the path and stay there. We don't want to be sidetracked. Hallelujah. So you know what all's in it. Just get it. It shows God's love for us, tells God's love for us. So vital now. You know, we're going to have to walk with faith. And that means it's not necessarily going to be bright or perfect from now until you leave or until the church leaves. But we can do it. We can walk with faith. You can turn around what seems to be impossible situations in your life. You can turn it around. You can succeed. You can come out of it. So we want to encourage you to order this today. Billy and I are going to pray for you. Oh, before we pray, I want to remind you about Billy's meetings. The Prayer Mountain Meeting Conference is October 27th through 31. Hilton Branson Convention Center in Branson, Missouri. You don't want to miss it. So Billy, pray the prayer for them, and then if you have something else you want to share, if there's time, do it. Hallelujah.
Father, in the name above every name.
Yes, Lord.
I want to pray that we'll be awake,
yes,
and not be
right.
asleep, and that we can spend the rest of our time, our natural life, in the flesh,
mm-hmm.
to the will of the Father,
we want to
and not to the will of man or to the will
obedient.
Of the no. And I'm praying the whole body that's listening in today, that's watching today, and those who are about to come into the body of Christ, that their destinies will come about and manifest from now to the day He comes for us,
praise
or
God.
Individually or as the church, and that everything else behind us would be placed under the blood and wiped away by the precious Thank blood God. Of Jesus Christ, and that we can be Thank fruitful
yes.
and bring glory to God the
it.
Father.
In
Jesus' name.
Amen. Hallelujah. Stir yourself up to finish in fullness.
Yeah, to finish.
Finish. We've got to finish.
It's about
now.
The finish.
We're at the finish.
It's in the finish.
And we want to flow across that finish line in power
yes.
and anointing. So don't miss the broadcast. Billy's going to continue to teach us tomorrow. And you don't want to miss anything, because you and I, we want to be ready. And this is Billy and Gloria reminding you that Jesus yes. is Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on KCM, visit kcm.org. Online, you'll find free ministry resources to help you live every day in faith. Receive God's promise that everything is going to be all right. Come to these exciting meetings. Join Terry Copeland Pearsons for her Toronto Spirit-Led Prayer Conference with guest Patsy Caminiti, September 28th through 30th. Come to the 2011 Word Explosion with Kenneth Copeland and special guests October 13th through 15th in Columbia, South Carolina, USA. Come November 10th through 12th to the 2011 Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign in Woodbridge, Virginia, USA. For more information, visit kcm.org.au.